الفاتحة. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي من علينا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وبأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: وأنزل من السماء ماء فسالت أودية بقدرها. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Basically, I was supposed to start tomorrow night, but tonight would be an introduction to what inshallah we'll be talking in the future nights. Obviously, you have already got the subjects that we'll be talking about. However, it is important for us to know how to enter the holy month of Ramadan. Up until now, we do not yet know whether tomorrow is the first month or not, the first day of the month of Ramadan or not. And that is why it is known as Yawm al-Shak. It is better to do the niyat of mustahab fast tomorrow. And if in reality it was the first month of the holy month of Ramadan, then that fast would be considered as a wajib fast also, according to the fuqaha. So it is better for us to do the niyat of mustahab fast tomorrow, so that if it was a wajib fast, it would be counted as a wajib fast. The verse of the Holy Quran that I just read is in reality a key that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us to open several doors of information. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a similitude and an example. وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. He sends down from the sky water. فَسَالَتْ أَوْدِيَةٌ بِقَدَرِهَا. And the valleys flow according to the measure. If you look at the verse carefully, Allah doesn't say, and the water flows according to the measure of the valleys, but Allah says, and the valleys flow according to their measure. Valleys do not flow like water. Water flows, but valleys are stationary. But this is an expression, it is a rhetoric expression in Arabic. It is known as from the balagha of the Holy Quran, the beautiful expression that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would like to mention. In reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to tell us that He sends down water in abundance. أَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. But the valleys take water according to their capacity and their measure. If you have hollow valleys, you will find that the water that is taken is a lot and abundant. If you find the valleys are like two thumbs or two fingers like this, you will find that the water that is taken is that much. If a person, I give you a tangible example, if there is the rainwater outside and you go with a small bucket, you can't complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say that, oh Allah, why did you give me less water and you gave that person more water who had a hollower container, a more spacious container. The answer would be that that person came with a spacious container and you came with a very narrow container. And therefore you could not draw a lot of water. That person could draw a lot of water because of his capacity. Now this is a similitude. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving an example to us, telling us that, you know, when the grace of Allah pours down, it pours down abundantly. Ya da'im al-fadli ala al-bariyya. Da'im al-fadl. We are sitting here and you don't know that Allah is raining down His fadl on our hearts, on our minds, every moment. Not that, you know, only when we pray, no. Ya da'im al-fadl ala al-bariya. Not only that, we say ya qadim al-ihsan. That means that this favor, this grace was not when you were created, no. It was pre-eternal. Ya da'im al-fadl ala al-bariya. Ya qadim al-ihsan. For example, when we want to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the du'as that we are told to recite is Ya qadim al-ihsan bihaq al-hasan alayhi salam. His qadim al-ihsan means that there was no time when you can say that Allah was waiting to create. Pre-eternal, that means that before this universe there was another universe. According to Imam al-Baqir salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, he says that there are alf alam qabla hadha al-alam. That means 1 million worlds before this world. If you go and see the reality, it's more than 1 million. This 1 million is adab al-kithra. It just shows that it is abundant. Because 1 million is a very big figure. Because if you go and see 1 million worlds, and you say, okay, 1 million worlds before this world, that means that before that, Allah was waiting to create? No. Usually the Urafa and the Ahlul Irfan compare this time magnitude with the sun. They say the sun, you cannot say that there was a time when the sun did not emit light. No. The quality of the sun is that it should emit light always. And therefore, Ya Qadim al-Ihsan. Now, this is what we want to try to understand, that when Allah gives grace, He gives abundantly. But our receptacles are mahdood and limited. And that is why you will find some people draw more knowledge. Some people receive more spiritual elevation than others. Why? Not that Allah gives that other person more and this person less. No. That other person has prepared himself. Has taken out the taints of sin from his heart. So when the light of Allah glows in his heart, it shines. And he can receive a lot of light. Why? Because he has prepared himself. A very beautiful dictum from Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. He says to Kumail, "Inna hadhihi al-qulub aw'iyatun." These hearts that you have are containers. فَخَيْرُهَا أَوْعَاهَا. The best of the containers are the most spacious of the containers. The more space it has, the more hollow it is, the more grace it can receive. Then, when the holy month of Ramadan finishes and comes to an end, and you find some people have progressed intellectually and spiritually, and others not progressed, don't say that it is the cause that is deficient. Allah gave to some people and He did not give to some people. No, it's not like that. أَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. That means He gave to everyone equally. فَسَالَتْ أَوْدِيَةٌ بِقَدَرِهَا. But it is these valleys that were hollow, some were hollow and some were narrow, and that is why some could receive more and some could not receive more. This is the reality of this verse of the Holy Quran. Now, the reason why I mention this is that we are approaching the holy month of Ramadan. There are so many a'mal that are suggested. For example, the reading of the Holy Quran, the supplication of Dua al-Iftitah, the supplication of Sahar, whereby you just mention the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma inni as'aluka min baha'ika bi abhahu wa kullu baha'ika bahi. Which Allama Tabatabai would tell his students that, you know, recite this dua. Usually in our communities we don't recite this dua often. But this dua is such a dua whereby you don't ask for any hurul ayn, or you don't ask for any palace or fruits or anything. You only ask for the names and the beautiful qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You prove yourself that you are a human being. You are not only an animal. An animal seeks these pleasures even in the hereafter. But a human being says, "Oh Allah, I would like to be with you in the hereafter." That That jannati that is mentioned in Surah Al-Fajr. Ya ayyatuha an-nafsu al-mutma'inna. O soul, which is at peace. Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. Return to your Lord while you are pleased with your Lord and your Lord is pleased with you. Wadkhuli fi ibadi. Then enter among my servants. Wadkhuli jannati. And enter my paradise. Here, great scholars say that, you see, here, there is nothing like jannatul firdaus or jannatul tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. There is mention of jannati, a special paradise, which is the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That paradise which is known as meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what we ask. And that is why Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, would say that اقرأوا سورة الفجر فإنه سورة الحسين عليه السلام. Recite سورة الفجر because it is سورة الحسين. Why? Because of the ending verses. يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية. Up to the end of the verse, whereby the Imam aspires for that paradise, which is that paradise for human beings, or human being. وإليه المصير. In Arabic, when you say وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَسِيرُ with a seen, that means that there is a certain place where you have to travel, and the ground is something else, the traveler is something else, and the destination is something else. But when you say وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَسِيرُ with a saad, that means towards him is the becoming process. That means Allah is telling you that you are so lofty, you have so much capabilities that you can become me. So come to me, I will give you more potential, I will give you more spirituality, you will have my characteristics. Obviously, you can't expect and anticipate that you are going to reach that station which is Allah Himself, the infinite station. No, that is impossible. Because a finite entity can never turn into an infinite entity, whether by any other cause or without any cause, because it is a finite entity. Once it is a finite entity, that means it always needs the help of an infinite entity. And therefore you can never become like Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, at least come near to me. وَإِلَيْهُ الْمَصِيرُ. And that is why even the Ahlul Bayt عليهم أفضل الصلوات المسلمين. Allah. According to a hadith, on Thursday night, their ilm and their knowledge is increased. That means that despite them being in the highest of stations in the hereafter, still they have the potential to increase their knowledge. And every week they have more increment of knowledge. And this is perpetual because you are talking about an infinite entity. And that is why what is important is when we recite these supplications, these du'as, the prayers that we are told, the 1000 rak'ats or the 100 rak'ats in Laylatul Qadr, the du'as of Laylatul Qadr, if we recite it passively, then that receptivity will not come. But if we recite actively, then I am guaranteeing you, because there is once, I have got my personal experience, that in one of the holy month of Ramadan, I would practice some practical directions from a great personality. And after that holy month of Ramadan, I literally felt that there was a lot that I received. Now, this is because of practicing some important instructions. I don't want you to practice very important instructions or instructions which are alien to you, no. What is important is try to make your heart receive more, and that is by doing istighfar. And the best kind of istighfar is done at sahri time. وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and during sahri time, pre-dawn moments, هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ, they are doing istighfar. Obviously, inshallah, we'll talk about the right way of doing istighfar. But the most important thing is take one step. Even try to show yourself that you are crying. It's so beautiful. In some of the verses or some of the riwayat, Allah says, if you can't do buka, the a'imma tell us, if you can't do buka, then do tabaki. Tabaki means show that you are crying near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, I've come. I don't know how to cry.
You can see that I can't climb, but I know that I'm sinful. Oh Allah, I am doing tabaqi, you help me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you. Because even that is meritorious. And when you do that, you will find that after 15 days of the holy month of Ramadan, a change would come. Inshallah, when we talk about preparing ourselves for Laylatul Qadr, there are about 5 to 6 things that you have to observe from the first to the last so that you can comprehend the spiritual light of Laylatul Qadr. One of which is, inshallah, we'll talk about it, is Salatul Jama'ah. That you have to recite Salatul Jama'ah from the first day up to the last day if you want to comprehend Laylatul Qadr. There is a very beautiful riwayah from one of our Imams, alayhim afdalu salawatil musallim. Allahumma salli ala. That if a person recites Salatul Jama'ah, Salatul Subh, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha, up to the last day of the holy month of Ramadan, يُدْرِكُ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ. He is going to comprehend Laylatul Qadr. And inshallah we'll talk about the reality of Laylatul Qadr. Is it only a night? Or is it a state of a human being? That's also important. Why, according to one riwayah, we are told that the Laylatul Qadr haqiqa is being Fatima Zahra, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayha. That shows that it is a state. Not only is it a night, but it is also a state. Inshallah, we'll talk about that in detail. For today, I thought of covering something small about the very powerful munajat that is there in the holy month of Sha'ban, known as Munajat Sha'baniya. I think you must have heard this, and emails are spread to different places, and people have spread this information about Munajat Sha'baniya, that these invocations of Sha'ban are so important, the whisperings of Sha'ban, that Imam Khomeini would always recite it in his speeches. And not only that, but many of our scholars in Qom and other places really suggest that in the holy month of Sha'ban, don't forget to recite Munajat Sha'baniya. In fact, so strong is this supplication that according to one riwayah, it is said all the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam would recite this Munajat without exception. That is from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam to the 12th Holy Imam Ajjalallahu Farajahu Sharif. Basically, it is a munajat. So whenever you recite any munajat, it should be recited slowly. Usually we think munajat is something to be recited loudly. Because munajat means to mutually whisper. It comes from the word mufa'ala. It's a form known as mufa'ala. Munajat, that means two people, the lover and the beloved, are whispering to each other and talking about love. That is known as munajat. So when you're talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you look at this beautiful supplication of Imam Ali alayhi salam, how he is talking to Allah. He says, وَإِنْ أَدْخَلْتَنِيَ النَّارِ. Allahu Akbar. It's ajeeb. وَإِنْ أَدْخَلْتَنِيَ النَّارِ أَعْلَمْتُ أَهْلَهَا أَنِّي أُحِبُّكَ. If you're going to make me enter hellfire, I'm going to tell the people of the hellfire that I love you, O Allah. This is Munajat Sha'baniya. The climax of Munajat Sha'baniya, which many of the scholars recite now and again, is as follows. إِلَهِ حَبْلِي كَمَالَ الْإِنْقِطَاعِ إِلَيْكَ. O Allah, O Lord, O God, gift me, habli, kamal al-inqita'i ilayk, the perfect connection to you and disconnection from other than you. Habli kamal al-inqita'i ilayk, wa anir absar qulubina, and enlighten the visions of our hearts. Wa anir absar qulubina bi dhiya'i nazariha ilayk, with the rays of its visioning you. حتى تخرق أبصار القلوب حجب النور, until the حتى تخرق أبصار القلوب, until the visions of the hearts tear up the veils of light. حتى تخرق أبصار القلوب حجب النور فتصل إلى معدن العظمة وتصير أرواحنا معلقة بعز قدسك. I'm trying to translate and I'm seeing some faces not being able to understand and digest what I'm trying to translate. But I'll give you a synopsis of what the Imam is talking about. The Imam is trying to tell Allah, "Oh Allah, you know, between me and you there are veils of darknesses and light. Enable me to tear off the veils of darkness and light so that I can see you." And that is the highest station of Irfan, whereby you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any veil. And that's what we are asking in this munajat. And all of us are asking. That means we are human beings. We are not only animals. If we are only animals, then we would ask for good food, good women, good places. I don't say don't ask for that. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam teaches us, وَمِنَ الْحُورِ الْعَيْنِ بِرَحْمَتِكَ فَزَوِّجْنَا وَمِنَ الْوِلْدَانِ الْمُخَلَّبِينَ كَأَنَّهُمْ لُؤْلُؤٌ مَكْنُونٌ فَأَخْدِمْنَا وَمِنْ ثِمَارِ الْجَنَّةِ fruits of Jannah وَلُحُوبِ الطَّيْرِ and flesh of birds فَأَطْعِمْنَا make us eat. But all these things are in that state, in a lower state. In the highest state is that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I only want you. I only want your proximity. Because I know when I reach that station, I will come to realize that whenever I wished for these mundane things, I didn't realize what it was to be with you. And that is something very sublime. That is what we should try to understand in this holy month of Ramadan. Especially, look at those supplications. Look at the supplication of Baha, which is there. Look at the supplication of Abu Hamza al-Thumali. Look at the supplications of all these. There are translations available. And you'll come to realize that the Aimma's hadaf and maqsad was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Imam Khomeini and other Urafa would say that, you know, many of us entered the holy month of Ramadan. We were told that you are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But none of us saw the banquet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the banquet of Allah is not consisting of food. The banquet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is consisting of meaningful things. The banquet of Allah consists of forgiving each other. The banquet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consists of being open-handed to each other. The banquet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consists of gaining more and more knowledge about Allah and His attributes. The banquet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to do good to others. This is what is known as the dirasatullah. This is the banquet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that, you know, that alhamdulillah, I remember once upon a time, one of the brothers, obviously at that time, he didn't have that much of maturity. Perhaps now he has more maturity. He said that, you know, alhamdulillah, in the holy month of Ramadan, Allah has invited us. Oh, we go to different places and eat different kinds of food. Really, Allah has invited us in this holy month of Ramadan. Not realizing that this invitation is not this invitation. This kind of invitation is given by Tom, Dick or Harry, or the likes of the human beings who are in this earthly abode. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to become Him. And that is why the secret of that hadith, الصوم لي وأنا أجزى به. In one of the hadith Qudsi, the Holy Prophet says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الصوم لي, fasting is mine, وأنا أجزى به, and I myself am the reward. That's a very high station. And that's what we should aspire. Say the salawat please. So basically in this munajat, we talk about two kinds of curtains. The curtains of darkness and the curtains of light. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, enable us to tear these curtains so that we can come near you. What are the curtains of darkness? The curtains of darkness basically is the sins that we commit. The attachments that we have to this world. When we say attachment, there is a difference between attachment and having this world. There is a difference. You see Nabi Sulaiman, salamullah alayhi, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, I want such a kingdom that no one has got. No one min al-alameen has got. Give me such a kingdom. Then the Holy Quran. That doesn't mean he was attached to the world. No. This same Nabi Sulaiman, when he's about to trample an ant, he stays. He stops and says, no, I cannot trample this ant. He respects the ant. He starts conversing with the ant. There is that conversation indicated in the Holy Quran also. This is same Nabi Sulaiman who has the words. Similarly, when it comes to us, we can have the good things of the world, but we can be detached from the world. That means if tomorrow everything is taken and you become completely bankrupt, nothing happens to your heart. You don't say that, now what will happen? Because you didn't have the attachment to the world. You are detached. And that is how we look at the lives of the A'imma alayhi salam. Look at the beautiful example is there of Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam. When on the night of Ashura, he tells Umar bin Sa'd, come to my ranks. Come to my ranks. Because you know that whom we are fighting against, and you know which ranks you are in. Umar bin Sa'd says, but I am afraid that you know my property would be taken away. Imam Hussein alayhi salam tells him, I will give you from my property that I have in Medina. That means Imam was a rich man at that time. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, while he was going to Karbala, had a lot of property with him, a lot of wealth with him. But despite that, because he was detached and he wanted to sacrifice everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is why he went to Karbala. That is why he went to sacrifice. And he left the property. It is said that on the night of Ashura, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam gathers his companions in one side and tells his companions that, you know, the reality is that it is these people who want my soul. They want to kill me. They want to martyr me. They don't want to martyr you. You can leave. Take advantage of the darkness of the night. They are after me. Leave me alone. And the companions and the family members of Imam Hussein alayhi salam tell Imam Hussein alayhi salam that even if we were killed several times, in some traditions, some of them say 70 times, some of them say more. They say even لو قتلنا ثم حشرنا ثم قتلنا ثم حشرنا, even if we were to be killed and brought back and killed and brought back and killed and brought back 70 times, knowing that after that again we would come and again we would be killed, we would not leave you, O Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. And when Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam came to realize that these people were really faithful followers of his, then he said that, then understand the fact that tomorrow all of you will be martyred in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the side of this scenario, there was a young boy who was reflecting and contemplating and thinking that would also be I among those who would be martyred tomorrow or not. He was contemplating about it. After Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam finished the conversation with the companion, this young boy comes to Imam and says, Ya Amma, wa ana fi man yuqtal? Am I also among those who would be killed in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam asks this young boy, that Ya Qasim, kayfa al-mawt indak? O Qasim, how is death near you? He says, Ya Amma, al-mawt ahla min al-asal. That is sweeter than honey for me, O uncle. It is said in one of the ziyarat we recite, أَشْهَدُ لَقَدْ كَشَفَ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْغِتَاءُ. The ashab of the Imam were of such an exalted station that they could even see beyond this physical realm, and they could see their stations in heaven. And therefore this young man clearly saw what he is going towards, and that is why he says ahla min al-asal. And if you go in the riwayat, you find there is no dictum
There is no expression from anybody of such beauty like that of Janabi Qasim salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi. And on the plains of Karbala on Ashura, he valiantly fights in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and on the station of martyrdom. Literally, when we look at these incidents, every incident is a message for us for emulation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to emulate and follow the footsteps of these great personalities of Karbala. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. There is a message that I would like to give, which I also mentioned in the beginning of the majlis, and that is, tomorrow is not yet known whether it is the first day of the holy month of Ramadan or not. And therefore, it is important. You can't say that I'm going to just fast a wajib fast. That's not allowed. That is batil. It is important to make the niyat of mustahab fast. If it was in reality a wajib fast, it would be counted as a wajib fast, inshallah. So we should make a niyat that tomorrow we are going to fast a mustahab fast. Obviously, it is not wajib to make the niyat. If you don't have any fast to fast tomorrow, if you don't want to fast tomorrow because this is not known, it is not, you are not sinful at all because it is a mustahab fast, because it's not yet known. But it is good, especially those people who are trying to prepare for the holy month of Ramadan. Three fasts before the holy month of Ramadan is so important that you get the thawab of fasting 2 months consecutively. Obviously, when we talk about thawab, it is not only something that is prepared in the hereafter waiting for us. No, it is that spiritual state that you are going through which is very important. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين.